everybody's talking about. We sure hope it's take two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, you are the key person in this equation. And we just love to hear from you because what you have to say, we all sit up tall and listen to you. That's what take two is all about, where we take a fresh look at ourselves, the world around us, our spiritual life, and we walk away from this brief hour a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God. And Jerry, I grabbed my rosary this morning, and because I know that's what we're talking about today, and I'm excited. This is the perfect timing on the Feast of the Assumption. You got your rosary. There you go. Okay, see, folks, you may not be able to see this on if you're on YouTube or Facebook. You could just see that Jerry just held up his rosary. I believe that's a Holy Land rosary, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a Holy Land rosary,
yes. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, it's. I've got a rosary in several locations throughout the house. Because all the quantity that we came home from the Holy Land with, I still have a number of them. So I have one in the car, one in the laundry room leading out of the house, one in my bedroom, one in my office studio. So, yeah, anytime I want to pray a rosary, I don't have to go look for it. There's always just one staring me right in the face. So it's great.
And some of our YouTube and Facebook viewers, you can see that I have a rosary hanging right behind us from one of our devoted listeners that sent Jerry and I these beautiful handmade rosaries that were made with blessed salt and holy water. They're absolutely gorgeous. Obviously they're so big, you want to display them in your home. And so I've displayed it right behind me. So, thanks again to those fine folks that sent us these gorgeous rosaries. And there's power in prayer. Praying the rosary, Jerry, and that's what we want to talk about today. We want to tap into our listeners about what role the rosary plays in your spiritual life. Could you share with us? Because it will inspire others to pick up their rosaries, dust them off, and start using them in daily prayer.
That's right. Here's how you get on the program with your beautiful sounding voice. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you're not able to call in, but you're watching the video stream on YouTube or Facebook, you can post your comments there. We'd be happy to get to as many of them as we can. You can email us. We check the email throughout the program at take2@EWTN.com. But again, as Debbie said, we just want to know and be inspired by you how you make use of the rosary. And I say make use of it. It almost sounds like it's a screwdriver or a wrench or something, but it is a tool. It is a powerful tool. I've heard it said after the sacrifice of the Mass, the rosary is the most powerful prayer that we can offer to God.
Well, we teach the children very early on, Jerry, in religious education that, you know, when you're meditating on the life, the death, the resurrection, the ministry of Jesus and his mother, okay, it is so powerful because you are referencing scripture. The mysteries all revolve around scripture. Okay, so you're bringing in the word of God. You are meditating on all of the aspects of Jesus and his mother. And it is truly incredible. And we've heard from the saints that Mary delights in it when we say the rosary. Of course, her son delights in it as well. And I mean, it's an amazing experience. And I think we as Catholics, we've grown up, especially as cradle Catholics, we've grown up with the rosary and we're like, oh yeah, yeah, the rosary. Yeah, yeah, we get it. Yeah, the rosary. Uh-huh. But we don't realize it's right there. Like Padre Pio says, Jerry, what a strong spiritual weapon to have in our arsenal to be able to combat the evils in the world and things that are going around. And you know, Jerry, in this feast day, I just have to say this real quickly. This is the feast day of the Feast of the Assumption. It's a holy day of obligation when Mary was the dogma of Mary being assumed body and soul into heaven. Okay, the fourth glorious mystery, which would pray today, is the Assumption. Okay, so how appropriate is that? You know, maybe now's the time to start praying the rosary on this beautiful feast day. I just wanted to say that. It's a good challenge for all of us to start it again.
833-288-3986 to be on the program today. We're going to have a lot of calls, so get yours in early. If you are a devotee of the rosary, how has it changed your life? I will definitely say, Debbie, that my mother gave me a rosary for my birthday, and it was probably, oh gosh, over 30 years ago. And I had never been I didn't have a habit of praying the rosary, didn't know a whole lot about it. So I got some booklets and I thought, you know what, if my mother cares enough to give me a rosary for my birthday, I should care enough to start to pray it. And it was not long, Debbie, before things, you know, great things, blessings just started to flow in my life. And I can really honestly say, obviously, everything points to Jesus. And, of course, the Eucharist, like I said, the Mass is the greatest form of worship of God. But when we honor Our Lady and pray the Holy Rosary, she wants to lead us to her Son. So in a certain way, I could say, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here today and wouldn't have experienced all of the amazing things God has done in and through me were it not for me starting to pray that rosary all those years ago. So I really encourage people who don't have a regular habit of doing this to really think about carving out that time each day.
Well, Jerry, and what you said too, thank you for sharing what it has done in your spiritual life. But wouldn't you also agree that the discipline of saying the rosary on a regular basis is very good for us spiritually? It, you know, the meditating on beads has been known for many, many, many years by other traditions. Okay. When you meditate and you focus and you have, you because of the meditation on the beads and because of, preparing your thoughts in the direction of meditating and trying to eliminate distractions, it has profound effects on the body physically and spiritually as well. And I think that Jerry, wouldn't you agree that by incorporating that on an early time during the spirit your faith walk, it can only enhance and deepen your understanding of the divine? I mean, that's what my come from is on it, Jerry. I praying the rosary, it allows me to have a very intimate view of the divine. I don't know if you've experienced that as well, but it's such a beautiful practice. What do you think?
I agree completely, and I think you're right on point there. Parents, we encourage you to introduce your children to the rosary at a young age, and obviously the spiritual benefits are there. But another thing that I think, Debbie, we're seeing today so much, and no one really can argue this, is the attention spans of young people today is just so small, and it's shrinking all the time because of technology and gadgets and just the stimuli that are all around us. And I actually know a family that they homeschool their kids, and they take 1 hour a day. They tell the kids, you can do whatever you want, but you have to be quiet and silent and still. You can read, you can knit, you can do whatever you want. So getting quiet, quieting ourselves. So it's very, very important. So I'd love to hear from anybody who might have a little bit of trouble with that. But we're talking about the role of the rosary today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
About the Most Holy Rosary today and what role the rosary plays in your spiritual life. So please call in and share with us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Okay, just a couple things I just wanted to raise awareness on. First off, today, Jerry, is the 37th anniversary of EWTN. EWTN started 37 years ago today. How exciting is that? Happy anniversary to everyone that has listened to EWTN, watched EWTN, supported EWTN, prayed for EWTN, and everybody that's worked at EWTN or volunteered for EWTN. Happy 37th anniversary. And one other thing, Jerry, just have to share because I love the Sunrise Morning Show. Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim does such a great job bringing a fast-paced, motivating, and inspirational show. It's such a great way to start off the day. Please, folks, Sunrise Morning Show, make sure you tune in for it tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern Time. Just had to share those two things, kind of keeping, you know, raising awareness is a good thing. Wouldn't you agree, Jerry? Because as we all get older, you said about a fast-paced world, we forget a lot of things. We have to be reminded. I do anyway. How about you?
I'm the post-it note king and reminders on my computer and my phone. But and one other quick thing, we're going to get to your calls, but I posted on take2show.com a great article on EWTN.com about where the prayers of the rosary and honoring and venerating Mary is found in the Bible. A lot of non-Catholics will say, well, this Marian stuff is not scriptural, so therefore it isn't legitimate. But really, Mary, the Bible so supports the Church's teachings on our Blessed Mother and the praying of the Rosary. So make a stop at take2show.com, and you'll see that article that's leads you over to EWTN.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, the role of the Rosary in your life, 833-288-3986. We're going to start with Kelly in Debbie's home state of New Jersey, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, thank you. I just left Mass celebrating the Feast of the Assumption, and the liturgy today is so beautiful. And, Mary, our mother, the mediatrix of graces, gets the honor of crushing the head of Satan. And, today I want to just remind people, especially after the Pennsylvania grand jury report, that there are people suffering whose faith was destroyed and ripped from them, and to offer prayers for these victims so that they can find a way to be healed and return to Jesus, return to Mary. And through our prayers, our faithful Catholic prayers and our assistance and our willingness to tell the truth and our willingness to stand firm against evil, whether it's within the clergy or anywhere, we have to stand for truth. We have to stand for Jesus. And I just want to pray for those victims and for the laity to just increase in courage and increase in strength and increase in, unity to stand for what is right and what is true and what is good and never back down.
Kelly, thank you so much for bringing this up in light of what has transpired, because we know you can just tune in to the secular news or even just pick up a newspaper, even a magazine at the grocery store, and you can see that everybody's taking shots at the church. I'm so grateful to you that you brought up that we need to pray for the victims. We need to pray that everyone is especially the lay faithful, to stand firm and to stand in truth and to stand in the truth of Jesus Christ. I just want to say this because it's prompting me to say it, and I feel it so strongly because I prayed about it this morning when I read that Philadelphia grand jury report, the parts of it that were coming out. It's coming out in little snippets right now. But I just wanted to say that, Satan, he wants to bring down the church. We know that. He wants to bring down the church, and he's using human weakness to do it. It's so obvious to me. It's like a glaring sign. And we have to be better formed in the faith, very prayerful people. We have to make sure that we keep that faith, and that the evil tends to get rooted out, if you will, and we can reform in a better way that is holy and we can all look up to and healing. So, people may say, well, this is an attack on the church. Okay, see, the Catholic Church is going down. I don't see it that way. I see it as, we have the truth. This is Satan trying to bring it down. And in our prayers, we're going to defeat Satan with the help of the angels, the saints, and the Blessed Mother. Kelly, it sounds like that's what you're challenging us to do as well. I just wanted to hear any comments, and I know Jerry wants to say something about this as well. What do you think, Kelly?
So I think that exactly, we know that if Satan can, Satan wants to destroy everything that God made for good, which is the truth, which is the church, which is the children, the people, anything that God made, Satan wants to destroy. We know the battle. We know the battle we're in. Okay. But that does not exonerate us as Catholics to pretend that evil doesn't exist within the institutional church. So we also have to have the courage to stand up to any evil, anyone who's walked away from Jesus, if they're wearing a Roman collar or not, they have to be accountable for what they do. So we can't be naive and childish, and be afraid. We have to stand for truth, whether it's within the institutional church or anywhere. So we I think that's where the laity has fallen short. We have this dynamic within the church where we behave like sometimes adolescents, the laity, to the priesthood. No, it's out of balance. There has to be proper order and balance within that the institutional church, because otherwise, you know, come on, we're being dishonest. We got to tell the truth.
Yeah, Kelly,
let
me offer a couple thoughts here, Kelly. Well, before they fall out of my head, I apologize for jumping in on you there, but you're so right. And the thing is, you know, we as Catholics, there's a different approach in the Catholic Church than there is sometimes in other churches. Other churches, some of them, you know, vote for who their pastor is, or they can, you know, leave and go to another church or whatever. Here in the Catholic Church, you know, we have a different, you know, organizational structure, and I think, you know, we look to our church leaders maybe in a different way, maybe more so than some other faith traditions might, and we should. I mean, our priests are in persona Christi. They are in the person of Christ, and they are called to really an amazing calling. St. Paul says, you know, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. One thing we have to remember, though, and this is near and dear to my heart, because of course I have my other ministry, Vocation Boom, that promotes vocations to the priesthood, but there's really two sides to the priesthood. One, yes, our priests are in the person of Christ. That gives them the power to turn bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus, to reach into hell and pull souls out of hell in confession. They can do things that really only God can do by the power given them by Jesus, but they retain their humanity. And if we put too much faith in them, too much trust in them, you know, we just need to remember that they are human. And getting back to Our Lady here in the Rosary, we must pray the Rosary and pray it fervently and devoutly, especially for our priests and our church leaders and our bishops. What does Mary say? The only words she speaks in the Bible are, do whatever he tells you. He is not Father so-and-so, Monsignor so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so. Yes, we should do what they tell us when they're living that life worthy of the calling. But what is she saying? Do whatever Jesus tells you. So, Kelly, I know you know this. Debbie, you know this. We cannot allow the horrible, scandalous things that we're hearing about now and that have happened throughout 2,000 years of the church to shake our faith to the point where we leave. It's understandable that victims and other people do have their faith shaken and rocked and may lose it. And God will have mercy on them, but he will also hold accountable those who have caused that. You know, what does Jesus say about causing scandal to the little ones? So anyway, I don't want to keep going on and on. I probably could for the whole hour, but
no, but I think it comes back to, we need to be a prayerful people for healing and for change and for things to happen so that people can have a restored understanding and faith in the Catholic Church. And because we know that the church is true and right. We know that, because that's why Satan is attacking it. So Kelly, we are with you in that, and we're going to be taking up the rosary on a regular basis and praying it. And that's what we hope, by having this discussion today, others will do so as well. And we'll see the changes happen through our spiritual prayers. So thank you, Kelly, so very much for imparting all of those words of invitation to all of us to make sure that we start praying for healing. Thank you, Kelly. Okay. Mike is up next in East Grand Forks, Michigan.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Mike. I don't have any glasses on. Please forgive me. It's Minnesota, in Real Presence Radio. Hi, Mike. Mike, I'm getting older. I don't know about this. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. I got my glasses on. I can't see either. So we're in good shape.
Thank you. Together. Thank you. So what's your thought of this, of the rosary?
Well, I just did a quick comment. I really have trouble focusing, and just, you know, with the distractions and the focus, you know, so it's been a struggle, you know, to pray the rosary. But I found maybe a little tip. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's everybody's doing it, maybe not. But anyway, I just, when I say the rosary, on occasion, I take each bead and I say a prayer for each of the people in my life. And, you know, I focus that prayer for them as I go around the rosary. So that helps me focus a little better. Mm-hmm. So, and I find out that I start with my family, you know, my nephews and nieces and my students, you know, and guess what? I run out of beads.
Right.
Pretty quick.
Right.
There's more.
You have to double up sometimes.
So. Yeah, yeah. Mike, but that's a beautiful way to a method to praying the rosary. I think that's beautiful because it allows you to focus on that particular person, and then that keeps your attention there, because you care about that person, you have a relationship with that person, and or those people that you're praying for, the groups of people. I think that's wonderful. And what I love about that is that I think sometimes when we say the rosary, there's folks that can get lost in the rosary. And what I mean by that is they're not even sure, you know, which bead they're on, what they're doing, you know, because they kind of get lost in it. And that's, you know, that can be okay too. I mean, it's, you know, your intention is there to pray the rosary. But I love that yours is so precise for each person. I think that's a wonderful way to approach it. What do you think, Jer?
I was just going to ask Mike, save a bead for me and Debbie and the show team and all of the Take Two family.
We want a bead.
Would you do that for us? Yeah, save a bead for us, Mike.
I'm going to have to go twice around the track then, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, if you just give us one, you know, God will hear that.
We definitely need twice around
and,
the track.
You know, what I find out is that, you know, when I focus on, you know, people, you know, maybe sometimes I've not thought about them for a while, and that reminds me to maybe touch base with them, see how they're actually really doing.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So sometimes I'm inspired to, hey, I got to talk to that person now. And guess what? It was very well appreciated and very well needed at the time. So
love it.
That's the spirit driving you.
Well, and Mike, I want to say something to you, especially because, and Jerry as well, and the other male callers we have calling in. It's a beautiful thing when men pray the rosary. You tend to see a lot of women grouped together sometimes in the churches praying the rosary. And I remember Father Donald Calloway talking about the little prayer women that used to encourage him to pray the rosary. They'd all group together. And you see that a lot. But I love when I see the Knights of Columbus carrying their rosaries and praying the rosary. I love when I see men praying the rosary, because I just think it is a beautiful sign, a beautiful witness to see for all of us. And it's very, very encouraging and inspiring for the children to see that. So thank you, Mike, for taking up the rosary and praying it on a regular basis. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Have a great day. Have a great day. Speaking of men, we've got Bill coming up in just a minute. Gene is on the line in Duluth, so the two of you hold on. And that line that Mike was on is now available if you would like to join us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Today is the glorious feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. What we celebrate is the end of Mary's earthly life. She was taken up body and soul into glory, into heaven, to be with her Son, Jesus Christ, and all of the heavenly hosts and the heavenly court. And, of course, there's biblical precedent for that in the Old Testament. I think it was Enoch, and was it Elijah and Enoch? But, again, I posted a good article on the scriptural support for the rosary at take2show.com. And, Debbie, we have some social media here.
Yeah.
That we're going to read real quickly here. Michael said the rosary is an assault weapon with a 50-round clip. I think he got that from Father Bill Casey.
Yeah, of the Father Bill Casey, right. Wow. Good one. B says, happy feast day to all. I put my two little girls to sleep with the rosary. It's part of our bedtime routine. They sleep soundly. B, that is so true, because the effects that the rosary, the meditative effects that the rosary has on the body, it lowers the heart rate. It's just beautiful. Puts people in a very peaceful mood. B, way to go. That's a great nighttime practice. And what is Beth says?
Beth says, I say the rosary every morning, mostly on my way to work. It's my spiritual vitamin.
I love that, spiritual
Beth,
vitamin.
I have passed many hours behind the wheel of a car praying the rosary. Mm-hmm. So
makes you a better driver, too.
It should, anyway. All right, Bill and Gene, hang on. You're going to be next on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Here is our phone number if you'd like to join us. What role does the rosary play in your life? Have you had any difficulty in disciplining yourself to pray it, or just kind of understanding why we should pray the rosary? Have you experienced any blessings, maybe miracles, maybe healings through Mary's intercession of the rosary? 833-288-3986. You can grab that open phone line.
talking about the Most Holy Rosary today, and what role does the rosary play in your spiritual life? How appropriate on the Feast of the Assumption today. That's why we're talking about it on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And so as promised, Bill is up next in Pennsylvania on Holy Spirit Radio. Bill, thanks for waiting and welcome to Take Two.
Thank you. I'd like to talk to you about the scripture rosary and how it has revitalized my devotion to the rosary. Sometimes the rosary got monotonous, and as I had the scripture rosary, I have a meditation between each bead, and so that helps me get the full meaning of the scripture is mentioned with each mystery, and it has really made my devotion to the rosary more accurate, and gave me a new love for it.
Wow. Bill, thank you for sharing that. You know, there are a lot of ways that we could and should do this. And the rosary sometimes can be just, as they say, sort of a rote prayer. And that's one of the accusations made, you know, against Catholics by many non-Catholics. It's a repetitive prayer. It's kind of mindless, and it can become that, you know, especially if we're thinking about other things, you know, what we have to be getting to, you know, right after the rosary, or if we're, if we're doing it, you know, kind of multitasking, fitting the rosary in while we're doing other things. But Bill, you're talking about ways that we can actually focus our mind, quiet our hearts, quiet our spirits, just make ourselves still for the time that it takes to pray the rosary. It's about 15 minutes. It could be a little bit less. It could certainly be more than that if we want. But any sort of tools or resources that we can take and employ that help us to not only think about, but help enter into our heart the mysteries that we're praying about is very, very helpful and important, because that's the whole key to it. What, Debbie, who is the Pope? It was called the rosary a compendium of the gospel. You know, so we want to learn Jesus' life, as you said earlier in the show, Debbie, and more intimately. And so the Gospels are where we find Jesus, where we meet mm-hmm. him. And as we mm-hmm. pray the rosary, we're meditating on those mysteries. So we really That's should right. immerse ourselves in them as best we can. I think Bill's point yeah. is fantastic.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bill. You know, every time you impart your wisdom, Bill, I think it's so wonderful, because you have such a depth of spirituality about you, and it's a beautiful thing to listen to. So thank you for blessing our day today and sharing with us how the rosary has impacted your spiritual life. It's helped all of us. Thank you, Bill. God bless you for that. I wanted to say real quickly, speaking about what Bill has to say, you know, if folks really want to learn in a deeper way how to pray the rosary, last year, and it's one of our favorite priests, Jerry, Father Donald Calloway, came out with the book, How to Pray the Rosary. It's really phenomenal. I have it. You probably can't see it. It's behind my left shoulder here. It's a wonderful book on how to pray the rosary. On Facebook, you could probably see it. Maybe I'll hold up the book later on during the show. But I'll tell you what, he does such a great job, because he has such a passion for the rosary, and it has changed his spiritual life and his ministry life so much that he wanted to impart to us all the elements, the deep elements of focusing deeply, like Bill is talking about scripturally. How the rosary can impact us. So I just wanted to encourage our listeners to maybe check that out.
All right, Jean, as promised, is next, listening in Duluth, Minnesota, to Real Presence Radio. Hi, Jean. Thanks for being with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Well, this is my great privilege for me, too, for you to take my call. I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, our priest today at Mass gave just a wonderful homily, and at the end of his homily, he talked about the rosary, and it made me feel really good, because I wonder how many priests really have a dedication to the rosary, you know, especially the ones that, you know, have gotten into trouble, you know, if they would pick up the rosary when they are tempted or whatever. I think we would have a lot less problems with the priests in our church. The other thing I wanted to say was I heard the caller that said that they pray the rosary in the car. I think I really started a devotion to the rosary when I started doing that, you know, praying the rosary on my fingers, you know, driving the car on the way to work. And I did that for years. My husband was not a rosary prayer at all, although his mother had been. So anyway, last fall I had the privilege of going to Medjugorje for a pilgrimage, and I had ordered some rosaries through the internet, and I was hoping to bring them with me to have them blessed in Medjugorje. And of course, I didn't get them before I left. So my husband happened to pick them up from the mailbox while I was gone, and he started praying the rosary, and it's just been a blessing for us. Because once I got home, then we've prayed the rosary every night before we go to bed. And he's a double amputee, mm-hmm. and so this past year has been a real struggle. But we've been so blessed, and I'm sure the rosary has a lot to do with that.
Well, we can hear it through your emotion, Jean. We can hear that. And that's a wonderful thing for you and your husband to share so intimately, to pray together the rosary. It's an incredible thing you're doing together. You know, we see those bumper stickers, the family that prays together stays together. It's so true. And you get to share the most powerful rosary together. Jean, we keep a book and we believe in the power of prayer. If you feel comfortable, can you give us your husband's first name? We'd love to pray for you and your husband as you are praying together.
That would be wonderful. His name is Mike.
Mike, okay. Well, Mike's a strong man, and that's wonderful. And the fact that you two are praying together, we know this. Take comfort in this. The blessings will flow either here or in eternity or both. We know that. We know that from all the saints that have told us what happens when we pray, especially praying the powerful rosary. Look at what Padre Pio talks about. And if you go into any of Father Donald Calloway's books, he talks about all the power that comes behind the rosary. And Jean, real quickly, and Jerry, a couple months ago, I was actually criticized by one of our listeners that made a comment that I say too much that the rosary has power. It does. I learned that from all the priests over many, many years and all the saints that I've read stories about. It does. It has incredible power. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. We should embrace that and use that to get us closer to God. Jean, I love your call and prayers are with you for you and your husband, Mike. Please let Mike know. Well, he's got a whole Take Two family praying for him as well. Jerry, what do you think?
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I just echo the prayers, and as Debbie said, Jean, we can hear it in your voice, but you're staying close to the rosary, you're staying close to our Blessed Mother, and what does she want? She only wants one thing. She wants us to stay close to Jesus. So anyone listening, if you are not familiar with Our Lady and the rosary and the role that she plays in our lives, remember Jesus on the cross gave her to the beloved disciple. He didn't say, John, behold your mother. He says, you know, to the beloved disciples, you know, behold your son, behold your mother. And we are John refers to himself as the beloved disciple often in his gospel, and not by name. We are all the beloved disciples. So if we stay close to Mary, we're going to be close to Jesus. So thank you, Jean. Again, prayers for you and Mike will be going forward from this day forward from all of the Take Two family. Okay, Tom in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Thank you for calling, and you are the next up here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie about the rosary. Hi, Tom.
Hi, and thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sure,
on a very
sure.
apropos day.
Yes. Go right
the
ahead.
The reason I was calling today is I thought, as I say, it's probably very apropos that there's a nationwide and a worldwide effort beginning today for a 54-day rosary novena going all the way from today until October 7th of 2018, 54 days, praying to our Blessed Mother, rosary a day. We're asking everyone to dedicate at least one rosary a day for our country and for our world. It's a worldwide effort, and people in our country and all over the world are doing the same thing. So we're asking people to pray for, we know there's plenty of calamity and destruction and evil forces out there, and we don't have to make that up. We just turn on the TV and see it. So that's my short message, that everybody join us in saying a rosary at least one a day for 54 days.
Well, you're so right, Tom. In fact, not only do we have to turn the TV on to know that the world is in a shambles, but I don't even turn the TV on anymore because I already know it, and it's really quite disheartening sometimes. But I know the U.S. Bishops Conference, USCCB, was encouraging people to pray a 54-day novena. Is this that one, or is this another one, or what?
No, this is the same one. It's the same effort by numerous groups. It's not being backed by just one, but there are numerous groups all over our country, including the bishops, and actually all over the world. Europe is very organized in this, and there's a lot of groups backing it all through Europe. In fact, all over Asia as well.
Good, good. Yeah, for those...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to give just a very, very brief explanation of it. Novena it's derived from the word nine, so a lot of people will pray nine-day novenas, meaning just nine consecutive days of a rosary or a certain set of prayers or what have you. And there are novenas for every particular cause under the sun. And this is just happens to be a string of nine-day novenas put together into a 54-day novena. So I was just going to explain that for people who didn't know. But Debbie, I know you have prayed a lot of novenas. I have as well. And I think, Tom, it's a great suggestion, good reminder for all of us,
Our
country and the world really need it.
Well, that's how we can participate, Tom. And thank you for bringing that to our awareness so that we can take part and we can join, like you said, for the country and for the world and do this together. Because when we storm heaven together, especially through the power of the Most Holy Rosary, that's when we'll see real change. And so thank you, Tom. God bless you for that. And thank you for calling in today and getting on the show. Real quickly, I just got a text message because I talked about Father Donald Calloway and everybody's sending me in text messages of his books. The most recent book is Champions of the Rosary. And that's the other book too, teaches you how to pray the rosary and the history of the rosary. And then I have so many of his books. So anything you get from Father Donald Calloway, know that it has to do with the rosary. How's that? And you can get it on EWTNRC.com. And there's a lot of Father Calloway's products on the EWTN religious catalog, which I love because then you're supporting EWTN as well. Just had to say that, Jerry, because I'm getting text messages asking where to find the books.
You can email us as well, take2@EWTN.com. And David sent this email. My situation probably doesn't apply to everyone, but as a single guy, I have the ability to wake up early, 4:45 a.m. I go for a run, come back, shower, and get to praying. I pray the Liturgy of the Hours and the Rosary, a total of about 45 minutes. Doing this with nothing but candles and incense gives the feel of an old monastery. And he says that this routine helps my morning and the rest of my day feel holy and complete. So thanks, David. Lisa said, good morning, Jerry and Debbie. Hello from Texas. I pray the rosary every day into work, and it has made my drive so easy. I also hear the different mysteries through YouTube, and I also pray the divine mercy that way. And finally, Christy said, hi there. I quietly prayed the rosary over and over nonstop during my first pregnancy labor without any medications. And it was such a peaceful experience to feel the Blessed Mother's presence during this time. Our daughter was born many hours later after a C-section, and her first name is Mary.
Mary. I love it.
God bless Christy.
Wow. That is beautiful. See, the power of the Most Holy Rosary. That's what we're talking about today and how it impacts your spiritual life. Let's hear from more of our listeners. Lisa, I'm sorry. We had Tom. Thank you again, Tom, for the 54-day novena. In fact, we actually have calls coming in saying they want to take part in it. But Lisa is in Kentucky on EWTN app, listening so patiently, and now is on the air. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, welcome, Jerry and Debbie. I love your show. I just wanted to say earlier you were talking about things that might be helpful when you're praying the rosary and trying to pray it intentionally. And I always kind of had trouble with that. And in recent months, just because of your encouragement and also Jeanette trying to say the rosary daily, and something that's really helped me, and I'm not a techie person, so probably so many people already know about this, but I started to do, say, Google Images, and say I'm on the Sorrowful Mysteries, and you just click on images and just do crowning of thorns. And there's so much beautiful art, depicting all these episodes in the life of Christ. And just to sit there and focus, like during that decade, say the crowning of thorns, and to focus on that picture, it has just helped me so much. Maybe I'm more of a visual person, And just like specifically, I wish I knew the name of the painting, but that's one where Christ, you know, the crowning of thorns, and he's sitting there, and it's so accepting, you know. And I think of myself, if somebody put one thorn in my head, you know, like what my face would look like, you know. And it's just such an inspiration, and inspirational to help me so much focus on his life and what the rosary is, what we're supposed to be meditating on. So I don't know if that will help anybody, but it certainly helped me.
Yeah. Deb, you got any thoughts? I certainly do.
Well, images, when you focus on any type of spiritual images to help you meditate on the mysteries, absolutely. Because, you know, we are created human beings of senses, and some of us can really focus in listening well. Some can visualize well. Some use parts of different areas to try and get us into that deeper meditative state. I think it's wonderful. I've often encouraged the kids when we teach on the rosary and about really dedicating intentional time for prayer to do very similar things, Lisa. And I think that's awesome. Sometimes when we, like, for instance, I think it was David that said he has incense and candles. Okay, so he gets into that mindset that it feels like a monastery. You know, it brings him into that place where he can eliminate a lot of the worldly distractions. I think it's great practices, Lisa, and I'm so happy that you have regularly adopted praying the rosary. Thank you to Johnette Bankovic, Johnette Williams, and also. And also what you've heard on EWTN, because I think that's only going to benefit your spiritual life in so many ways. Like I said, for here or for eternity or for both. So it's a win-win. Anytime you pray the rosary, it's a win-win for your soul. That's how I look at it, Lisa. Thank you for your contribution today.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. We're going to get to Ann here momentarily in Detroit. I do want to take just a quick moment to mention Apple TV. I have had an Apple TV device for many, many years, and it's just one of the different ways that you can watch EWTN on television. And Apple TV, it's just a little, about a 4-inch by 4-inch little black box. It may be smaller by now. I had one several years ago. But it works on a Wi-Fi connection, so you can just get all kinds of different TV channels and offerings there on Apple TV over your home internet. And EWTN is one of those choices. So in case you were wondering, hey, how can I get EWTN television? I don't want to pay for cable or satellite and get, you know, 500 channels I don't ever watch, but I do want to watch EWTN. Well, Apple TV is one way that you can do that.
Sweet. I like that. Okay, Ann, you have been waiting so patiently as well in Detroit, Michigan on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Ann. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, thank you. First of all, well, I do have a question for Jerry, but I just wanted to say that, I think in the last few years ago, there's been a refocus or a reawakening to the rosary. And 2 years ago, I started praying on Wednesdays. Today's the day. In fact, with our Gospel of Life group at my church, we pray the rosary, we pray the Divine Chaplet, and we are praying for the end of abortion and for our country. And I joined that group because I thought, I don't know. I was I says I need to be praying for something other than me, you know. And but I found that it's taken me back because I don't know. I just think past 30 years or so, maybe there wasn't attention to it. Like I remember when I was growing up as a cradle Catholic, you know, in the 60s and 70s. So, Jerry, I wanted to ask you, I've heard you a couple times say that your mother gave you a rosary, I think back when you were 30, and, you know, that you thought that if your mother thought highly enough to give you one that you should start using it. So I just wanted to know, like, what point were you in your life? Were you a practicing Catholic? Were you away? Were you here and there in the church? Did you resist it? But then you came to it. Can you describe that at all?
Yeah, sure, Ann. Thanks for the question. Really, it was probably, I think, God worked it into my life at just the right time. This came about a year or two after I had started to have a reversion, kind of a return to my Catholic faith. I was baptized at 22 days of age, so I was a cradle Catholic. But we had some little, you know, rocky times in our family. Our parents divorced and so forth. And, you know, our mother, you know, had five kids, so we didn't get a lot of religious education. There wasn't a Catholic parish nearby for, I think the nearest one was about 30 miles away. So we weren't raised really solidly Catholic, and mom did try to get us to church. But then in my teens, I did definitely say, you know, I don't want any part of this. I chose not to go to Mass. I'd rather stay home and watch, you know, NBA basketball on Sunday or whatever. But I remember saying a prayer one time. I said, God, you know, just don't let go of me. You know, I was in my teens at that time. I said, God, you know, I'm just not ready for you right now, but I said, just don't let go of me. And God, you know, I wouldn't suggest anybody praying that prayer, but when we're at a certain place in our lives, sometimes God can work with that. And so in my early 20s, I started to sense a tug back toward the church. I found myself stopping on my way to work into a church just to pray for 5 or 10 minutes each day. I didn't really know why. And then I started going back to Sunday Mass and then eventually to daily Mass. And so it was about that time, as you can see, Anne, God was leading me back, and then he introduced me to his mother through the power of the rosary. And it was really revolutionary. It was life-changing for me. And I would just, again, encourage anybody, if you know somebody who may be you know, struggling in their faith or maybe not practicing devoutly, or like you said, Anne, in and out of, you know, practice of the faith, just ask them. Say, you know, it was a favor to me, you know, like my mother did. You know, she gave me that rosary, and I thought, gosh, you know, I should honor my earthly mother by praying to Mary, and I didn't really know her then as my spiritual mother, but boy, I sure do now. So I don't know if that answers your question, Anne, or not.
Well, just, I guess the one thing, did your mother ask you before she gave it to you?
Ask me to pray it, or
no? If you would receive the rosary?
No, I don't believe she did. Yeah, I don't believe she did. Yeah, it was a birthday gift, so yeah, she just wanted it to be a surprise, and it certainly was. And I think I was ready. See, I was ready at that point. You know, a year before, 6 months before, 3 years before that. You know, I might have just tossed it in a drawer somewhere, and it could still be there today. But you know, God had prepared the soil of my heart for that particular time in my life. So, yeah, she did not ask ahead of time, but my heart was ready, and she must have had some kind of an inspiration to know that I was ready for it.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you so much. Jerry, you had mentioned about the power of the rosary, and I just want to say real quickly that Cheryl just emailed in, and she said, hi, Jerry and Debbie, just caught a little bit of the show. She's asking me to clarify about this idea of that there were some comments of using the term power of the rosary, and she wanted me to clarify that it's in the prayers of the rosary that have power, not the beads themselves. And Cheryl, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I just wanted to share something. You know, Father Donald Calloway talks about this a lot, and there is tremendous power in the rosary through the meditation on the life, the death, the resurrection, the ministry of Jesus and his mother. There's tremendous power in those intentional prayers and meditation on those aspects of what Jesus did for us and what he continues to do for us in terms of salvation. And when we meditate on that, there's tremendous power. Now, I do want to clarify, you know, if you think that the beads themselves have some kind of magical ability, that's not the case. It is the power of prayer. But I will tell you, though, I want to just clarify something real quickly. When you have a rosary blessed, okay, it becomes a sacramental. So there is power in that as well. Okay, so you have to realize all aspects of things in it from a spiritual nature. So that's what I was referring to. Learned it for many, many years from many priests and also the stories of the saints. So it comes from, I think, some very trusted good sources. So there you go. I hope that clarifies it, Cheryl.
Right. Yeah, and Carol emailed, and she says, hi, Jerry and Debbie. Someone said the rosary is like sitting by a window with Mary looking at the life of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I love that, and that's, yep. That's what we were talking about earlier. Thank you so much, Maureen. Maureen uses an app called Soul Core for rosary meditation and exercise. I have not heard of that, but...
I have not either.
Maybe we can look that up. But
you know what, Jerry? That was brought up on a previous show. Somebody else brought that up. I think we looked into that. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and Anonymous emailed, said, about 30 years ago, I began saying a daily rosary for the gift of pregnancy. About a year later, we were blessed with a positive answer to the request. So, way to go. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that email, everybody.
And I would encourage folks, please have your rosaries blessed, because that's when you really unleash a lot of the, you know, a lot of the graces. It becomes a beautiful sacramental, and it's a wonderful thing. So have your spiritual items blessed by you know, next time you go to church, just ask the front office when the priest or deacons can bless your spiritual items. It's done quite often. I worked in the parishes, and you'll see it's done often, and it's a beautiful thing. Jerry, tomorrow's show you came up with.
I've got to look and see. Oh, it's time for another transition.
That's right.
It's back to school. Summer vacations are probably over by now. Kids getting ready to go back to school. How does your life, your routine, your spiritual life change, or does it? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day.